Hi everyone, and welcome to the second part of our MBA series about storage spaces. In the last part, we looked at some different architectural designs. We defined the small environment, the medium, and the large, and we talked about how to build a modular solution where you can add more modules when you need them, and things like that. It's still me, Ola, and
Michael, which still is an MVP,
and Marcus as well, who's also an MVP.
Still,
yes.
So far.
And I'm a technical evangelist from Sweden, and we're all from Sweden. So today, in this session, we will talk about some design choices. We will talk about how to create virtual disks and what options we have about mirroring and about columns and about building a fail-safe environment and a lot of other things. But to get started, we need something to show. So we will build a small lab environment, and we will show you how we have done this. So let's take a look at your script.
Yeah, the infamous script. So we do need a playground, and it is very nice to have the physical environment to be able to play with, which you really need to do eventually. But before you do that, just figuring out how to create these virtual disks and the storage pools and be able to play with the scripts and things like that, we can just create a bunch of virtual hard drives. And
we like PowerShell.
And we
so
do.
we have done most of the things, everything more or less in PowerShell. But
that's
we will
true.
Also look at the server manager later on. And,
so these two first lines creates a bunch of drives. We're going to create disk number 1 to 12. It's going to be 400 gig drives. They are going to be emulated as SSD drives. And then we create Resolute drives up to number 48, which is going to be 2 terabyte size drives. These are going to be the HDD layer of the drive, so we can build 2-tier drives.
So this is just for the people who doesn't use PowerShell a lot. This is just 2 loops.
Yeah, if you just run 1 to 12, it's going to say 1 to 12, and if you done 13 to 48, it's going to calculate one up to 48.
Yep.
And then we just create the drives with those numbers. Then we need to mount all these drives. I already did that because it takes a while to do that. So they are already mounted. And that means I can run this command to see what kind of drives can I use in my storage pool. So if we run that command, hopefully we're going to get a bunch of drives. And you can see I have them here. This is a virtual drive. And it says, yeah, you can pull them. Now, this is just a demo environment. So There's no point of using virtual hard drives on one physical drive. It's not going to be really redundant or high performance, but it's a good playground.
We could also add that if you're trying this on your home PC or your lab machine or something, and you add a couple of physical hard drives and you have some issues that it can't find them or can't show them, that means that you probably have RAID enabled. For storage spaces to work, it have to have full access to hard drives.
Yes.
So you have to disable all RAID capability on your storage controllers.
Yeah, otherwise it's going to be really messy. So we can see what kind of storage subsystem we have in this machine. And it says, yeah, you have storage spaces, and it's healthy, and it's obviously operational, which is very nice, which is the foundation for this. So we're going to store that information in a couple of variables like this.
So this basically can tell us that, yes, we will be able to build a storage
space. Yes, exactly. So let's put that in variables, so we can now see that here's all my physical disks. They are there. Then we can create a new storage pool with a pool name, and we're using the sub-storage, the storage subsystem friendly name, which is going to be storage spaces, and we are going to use all the physical drives we have, meaning we basically take everything we have and put in one storage pool. Storage pool is now soon created. And if we run that command, like, and get storage pool there, we can now see that we have a storage pool. And in Server Manager, it's going to look like this. And loading, display, loading data. It's so exciting. And this is why we actually use...
no disks yet, but we have all our physical disks.
And you can see
they are all SSDs.
Which means it's going to be really tricky to do any kind of two tiers because it's...
But it will be really, really fast.
And the reason why this happens is because my machine is actually running on an SSD drive, so it inherits. So we can fix that.
We will create some fake...
Yes. So what we will do is that we will use something called set physical disk and media type SSD and HDD. So we're going to grab every drive that has the size of 400 gigs and turn them into SSD drives. And then we take the other ones and turn them into HDD drives.
And this is, of course, a great way to build a lab environment, but sometimes you actually need to use this because... The disk, when you can't really identify the disks automatically.
Yeah, it happens. Depends on the vendors. It depends on the firmware. It just happens from time to time.
So sometimes you need to set the media type.
Yes. And now you can see I have the media type of HD and SSD here.
Yep.
Different sizes and different types, right? So now we can see what kind of drives we have in the SSD group. Here's all the SSD drives, and here's all the HDD drives.
So we have 12 SSDs, right?
Yeah.
And 36.
Let's say a bunch.
Yeah.
But I agree on the 12. okay, so that's fine. Let's give those tiers names. Nice to have names on them. It's just a variable, and then we're going to create a storage tier with the SSD drives and a storage tier with the HDD drives. And the reason why we do this is because we need to have them in a SIM instance. And when we do that, that's actually what happens. So if we now check the SSD tier, it's going to be in this object that you can see. And the HDD is going to be in another object. So now we have objectified all the SSDs and all the HDDs. So this gives us the pool is now created. We have a tier for SSDs and we have a tier for the HDD drives.
So that was kind of the basic stuff to get a lab environment up and running. The next couple of commands we're running, we're setting something that we call retire missing physical disks. And we talk also about repair policies. Maybe Marcus can explain a bit about that.
Yeah, basically, you all know the hot spare concept. We have a physical drive which can be used when one of the other drives fail. This is kind of similar, but on the other hand, not really. Because in this case, we're going to use all the drives, so we don't use one dedicated drive for the hot spare. We rather want to use all the drives in the enclosure. Though, to be able to use this, we have to allocate or pre-allocate a certain set of amount of disk space so one of the drives can fail and it can still rebuild it. Because that's the difference. When you have a hot spare, you will manually have to enforce the rebuild, and that will take time. In this case, when we use this policy, retry missing physical disks always, it's by default set to auto. The always setting will make it rebuild the virtual disk automatically on all the other drives that exist.
So instead of having a dedicated hot spare, you have kind of a virtual hot spare or a dynamic hot spare or
a dynamic
something
code.
Like that.
Mm. Exactly. The downside is that you have to reduce the number of columns, which we'll get back to in a few seconds.
We talked about columns actually also in the last session, so we will very soon do a bit of a columns deep dive.
But that means that you don't, the only thing you gain by using the retire missing physical disks and the repair policy in this way is that you, instead of having the dedicated drive, you now use your existing drives for the same reason.
Yeah.
So you don't save space, it's not going to be cheaper or anything like that. It's just instead of having it dedicated. So you can say it's like software-defined
storage.
Storage, yeah. It's software-defined instead of having it physically defined.
And another benefit is that since we're using all the drives, if one fails, part of that information exists on the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So it's faster to rebuild compared to filling a drive from zero to full, basically.
Yeah.
So in a lot of cases, this is actually the preferred way to do it.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So let's run it. Hip. And let's see what happens when we did that. Well, it says that retire missing physical disks now is set to always and the repair policy is set to parallel. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So that means that the storage pool is now created with all these nifty grifty settings. And what we can do now is that we can start creating...
We have more or less created one big pool of hard drives, or one big hard drive, where we can now create virtual disks that we can later on assign a volume.
So we have a couple of different disk designs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the first one and go into all the details here so that we understand all the concepts.
Yes.
And then we do some variations of this. But let's look at the first one. We have a two-tier disk.
Yeah, it's a two-tier, two-way mirror with six columns. And that means we need to give it a name. Here's the name. We run the new virtual disk, friendly name, and the resilience settings name is now mirror, since we're doing a two-way mirror. And I also specified the number of data copies to be 2 and the number of columns to be 6. Now, before we continue, it's very important that you understand the concept of mirror, data copies, and columns. Otherwise, the rest of this session will be kind of pointless.
So let's talk about those.
Yeah, mirror is really simple. It's you have data on one drive and the information is mirrored to another drive.
Yeah.
That's
a two-way mirror.
Yeah, that's a two-way.
And the alternatives are a three-way mirror, where you store the information on one drive and then you have copies on two other drives.
Or you can have a parity.
Parity, yeah.
Which means that you distribute the parity to be able to recalculate the data. Kind of like
RAID 5.
Yeah, the old style RAID 5. Or you can do a simple, which means that if you lose one drive, it's gone.
And so when it comes to parity, we of course have some performance considerations.
Yes, and there's also different, you can have multiple parity drives too. But let's do mirror.
Yeah.
In this case, we do the number of data copies 2, meaning 2 copies of every data on 2 drives, right? But the number of columns is very interesting. What is columns? Marcus, I know you love this topic.
I love this topic, yes. Columns is the number of drives that you can write to at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's number of columns. So in this setup, when we created the pool, we had 12 SSD drives.
Yes.
And 36 HDDs.
Yes.
So since we split everything in 2, so let's look at the SSDs first. The SSD drives are 12,
mm-hmm.
but since we're using two-way mirror, all information that we store on one drive has to be replicated on another one.
Okay, so 2 times 6 means?
12.
12. Okay.
Or the other way, which is maybe easier, is that you have 12 drives, you need to save everything twice. That means that you can write to 6 drives at the same time.
If you choose to do a two-way mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, okay, so if we had 36 drives for the hard drives,
mm-hmm.
so in that case, if we use the same mathematics, so 36 divided by 2 is 18.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have 18 columns then?
I could, but then I couldn't use the SSD drives in the same tier.
In this case, we want to use two-tier storage.
Therefore, I can't.
So we're going to use the least number of columns, yeah, which is 6 due to the SSDs.
So 6 is not just a number you came up with. It actually is kind of a conclusion based on the number of tiers, the way we want to mirror it, and the number of disks in the tier with the least amount of disks.
Correct.
So if we go back to the retire missing physical disks and repair policy, I know we typed in the use at least one fewer columns than maximum. So in this case, if we do a mirror, a two-way mirror, and we have the number of columns, it's going to be 6, which is going to be the maximum, mm-hmm, because we have 12 drives. If I want to use the retire missing physical disk always and repair policy set to parallel, I can't use 6.
That's right.
I can only use 5.
We have to reduce the number of columns.
Yes, that's true.
So we have to change the script.
So, darn. So I need to have this to like 5, right?
Yeah.
So this kind of calculations is something that you discuss a lot, I know.
We do.
So yes. this is something that you really need to consider when you set up a solution like this.
If you now use 5 columns, so 5 times 2 for data copies, mm-hmm, that means 10.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have two columns for 2 drives for the fast rebuild.
Yes.
If you have a look at the SSD drive, the hard drives,
mm-hmm, which is 36, right?
Yeah, we have 36. So we now have 5 columns.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the closest we get is 5 columns times 6, which means 30.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that we have like 6 HDDs
that we can't use.
Yeah.
We're going to have them, but they are humming, and we can use them as humming devices, and we can't use them. So when it comes to
We use 2 of those extra drives because for the fast rebuild stuff.
Yes.
But we will still have a couple of drives that are more or less, would I say, useless?
So this kind of exercise to calculate these things decides a lot. I mean, what kind of enclosure and how many disks?
Exactly. How many enclosures? How many disks? How many SSD drives? How many HDD drives?
How many data copies?
Yes. It's a massive calculation, and this is one of the few times we really need to have like Excel.
And why do you want? I mean, the number of columns also has an impact on performance, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So.
So you want a couple. You don't want one column.
No.
You normally want the most number of columns as you can get.
Yeah.
Yes.
Within reasonable limits, of course.
I mean, when we talk about performance, it's always three things, right? We talk about the number of IOPS you can cram out of a drive. We talk about the amount of data you can transfer to and from the drive, yeah, the throughput, and we talk about the latency.
And disk space.
And disk space, absolutely. So, yeah, I really want to have a high number of IOPS, but I also need to be able to really have a through output. So it's a combination of all these things together. Having just a great and huge number of IOPS is not good enough.
But, okay, so let's say that in this case we had 36 plus 12, so 48 drives in total in this enclosure, mm-hmm, in our virtual enclosure.
In the virtual enclosure, that's right.
And with this setup, we came to the conclusion that we got 5 columns.
Mm-hmm. To be able to use this, right?
To be able to use this, right. So if we pretend that we would use 48 HDDs, so no SSDs at all.
Okay. 48. Yes.
And we would like to use mirroring, two-way mirroring.
Okay.
So 48 drives divided, mm-hmm, by 2,
mm-hmm,
gives us 24.
Yes, I know that.
Yes, but then we need to reduce at least 1 due to the fast rebuild.
Yes.
So that gives us 23 columns. Yes.
Correct.
Okay, so Michael, how many IOPS do we get in average or estimate from an HDD?
Depends on a lot of things, but roughly 100, maybe 150.
Let's say 150.
Yeah, something like that.
Or let's say 100, just because it's an easy number to count on.
Okay, 100 is fine.
Yeah, 100 is fine. Yeah. It's a bit low, but 100 is fine. So you get 23 columns times 100.
Mm-hmm.
Which, Ola, you're a math genius.
2,300.
Yes. So you can get like 2,300 IOPS.
which is not really great.
No, it's not great.
But since we have all these 33 drives to write and read from, we're going to get a decent through output from these drives.
Yeah, that's the write gives us, but the through read, we can use both data copies.
Yeah, it's true.
So then we get like the double, the twice as much. But still, let's say that we get about 2,300 IOPS. How about bandwidth, throughput?
Yeah, well, that's going to be quite good.
I would say it's, if we can get squeeze out 150, 180 meg per second, so let's say 200 meg per second, because it's easy to count on.
Yeah.
Times 23 gives us about 4,600. So in the best of worlds, we would get about, is it 4.5 gigabytes a second?
Something like that.
Yeah. About 4 gig per second.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's not going to be,
I would say it's good for backup.
Yeah.
Because that won't need that many IOPS, but it will need the throughput, and you will get a pretty big size, 24 drives, 12.
But I want to do two tiers. So one of the things that we see customers say that we would like to have two tiers, and they buy two of them.
First of all, the number of IOPS you get from one SSD. If you compare this, we got like 2,300 IOPS from this solution. So with just one SSD,
50,000
IOPS, that's a huge difference.
Yep.
So in that case, if we add like, let's say, two SSDs. So we get a lot of IOPS.
Yeah. Right. 100,000 IOPS. Yahoo! Yeah, that's cool.
And we still want to use mirroring.
Yeah. So that means we are down now to like one column.
Yeah, because you have two SSDs and then you want to use mirroring. That means that you have two divided by two means one.
But whoa. I need to actually have three. Because if I have three, I need to have four. Because if I have four, I have two columns. Okay. And then I have the repair policy set. So that means I can't.
You'll have one.
So if I have four SSD drives with an automatic repair policy, I will actually end up with just one column. Meaning I will write to one disk, which is an SSD drive.
So there's a good reason why we have 12 SSDs in our environment.
So we're going to get a really amazing number of IOPS, but the through output will be horrible.
Yeah.
Not good, at least.
So it's things like that you have to take into consideration when you're doing calculations and designing the solution.
Yeah.
And that's why columns is so important. And you have to, or you will set the number of columns when you create the solution for the first time. Mm-hmm. You can't change that afterwards without recreating the virtual disk.
So what happens when Marcus and I visit customers and they built this and they didn't read, right? So they were just, you know, clicking through everything and they go like, oh, we have a horrible performance. And we do some measurements and we realize that, well, it's actually not the hardware itself. It's really good stuff you have. It's just that you didn't really create the virtual disk correctly. And a customer says, oh, how do you fix it? We just move everything from the drive and then we recreate it, which is a challenge by itself. So let's create this and see what we have. Let's run it. And yay, there you go. If we go back to Server Manager and we do a refresh here, we're going to end up with a drive. Hopefully, it's going to end up in virtual disks. With a bit of luck. If I do properties and I do show all, I can see here's all the drives that we're using and I can see different properties. But instead of doing it that way, it's actually easier to just run this command, get virtual disk and dump the data like this. And that's going to tell us the following things. It's going to tell us interesting things like name, okay, healthy, fixed. Yeah, it doesn't have a parity layout, so it's, of course, it's unknown. The write what's the write cache size?
It's the storage spaces will automatically use part of the SSD tier for a write cache.
Yeah.
Write back cache.
And default value is 1 gigabyte, right?
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And what we know for sure is that please don't modify it. And if you do, please verify that it actually works.
Yeah, we have had, to be honest, a couple of customers who actually changed this value and set it to 20 gigabytes or 30 gigabytes because it seemed like a good idea at the time, but they got horrible performance.
Yeah.
And returning it to the default value gave the great performance. For example, I had a customer last week. They got about 300 megabytes per second. We changed the write cache size to the default value and got 5.7 gigabytes per second on the same hardware without doing any other change than the write cache size.
It's a difference between 300 megs and 5.7
gigabytes.
We also have some interesting thing here. Is enclosure aware?
Yes.
Should we maybe explain that
one? We can see the physical redundancy here, and we can see the number of columns. The number of columns was 5, which is fine, and we can see the physical redundancy is 1, which means we can lose one, right?
Yep.
And it also says enclosure aware, and it's false. Let's cover enclosure aware. Now, we don't have an enclosure here. So we can't really do anything about this. It's because we don't have an enclosure because everything is running on in a virtual environment. But if you do have a physical environment, and then all the enclosures that is certified, they do have an identifier. So they have a unique identifier. And you can use that. And the cool thing is that you can say, well, I want to build my storage spaces solution, and I want to build it enclosure aware. So that means that when you build the virtual disks, it's going to say, hey, this guy is doing a three-way mirror, and I have 3 enclosures. That means I need to strut the data across all these enclosures. So that means we can actually lose one entire enclosure. If you don't specify that it should be enclosure aware, even if you do have multiple enclosures, you might be able to lose an enclosure, but you don't know because when storage spaces was built, it didn't take under consideration that, hey, I need to treat these drives differently because they are not in the same enclosure. So do we always use it? No, but we use it when it makes sense, depending on how many enclosures people have and what the goal is.
And so, this is something that we looked in the architecture session last time. We actually had one design where we only had one enclosure.
Mm-hmm. So and then you don't have it, right?
So sometimes that's what you want.
Yep, that's true. So this was one drive, right? Should we switch into the next one?
Yeah, let's look at some different
So here's some different
variations.
In this case, we have a new name, of course. We still use mirror. In this case, we have 3 data copies and 4 number of columns.
So 3 data copies times 4 columns gives us 12 SSDs.
Yes.
And or 12 drives. And that's what we had. But we had set that policy.
Yeah, so we need to reserve space. What happens if we don't reserve space? Well, it's not going to work. So it's going to build it, but it's not going to work. So it's not going to have an order repair policy. In this case, I need to change that to 3. To be able to keep the auto repair policy working.
And that means that when we now make it, we're going to use like 9 drives.
Yes.
But we still need the other ones for the redundancy.
Exactly. And since we're doing a 3-way mirror, we're going to store the data in 3 different drives.
And that means that we will get less total space for usage compared to the 2 data copies.
Should I run it?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Don't do this in a reality, in the real world, without really being sure that you're goofing around things you can. These scripts could be very destructive if they are performed incorrectly. So let's see what we have. In this case, name, healthy, fixed, parity.
More or less the same.
Yeah, number of columns is 3, and physical disk redundancy is now 2.
Which means that we can lose 2 drives.
Yes.
And in the prior example, we had 1.
Yes, it's true. Okay, so that's another example, right? And we also have the storage tier sizes. The first one is the size of the SSDs, and the other one is the size of the HDD, how much we will use. Here's the last one. In this case, we're going to create a parity with not four columns, but with it's going to be how many columns?
It depends on the number of drives.
Yeah, in this case.
So let's create it and have a look what do we get. Don't spoil the fun.
Okay. So the size is 100 gig and the physical disk redundancy is set to 2.
So also if we look back at the last session, we had some examples where we worked with both mirroring and we also worked with parity.
Yeah.
And the example we had there was for backup and things like that, parity might be a good idea.
Yeah. And please note that we're still using the same pool for all these examples.
Yes.
So it's the same set of drives where you can create different virtual disks with different settings.
Yes. Yeah. Let's run it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We are running that. And let's see what we got. Oh, it now says that we have 17 columns and we have a physical disk redundancy of 2. Physical disk redundancy of 2 I get because that's what we define. And the number of columns is 17. And the provisioning type is fixed and the parity layout is now rotated parity. So it's a parity drive. And it's using dual parity since we have the ability to actually lose two drives. So the columns will be with 17 columns, right?
Yeah, and why is that? If we had 12 plus 36 drives,
yes.
So how can we get 17?
Well, it's not a tiered solution, right?
Correct, it's not a tiered solution.
Mm-hmm.
So it's using the HDDs. Since we have 17 is basically the maximum.
Yeah,
that's the maximum number of columns for a two-tier solution.
If we go back here and check, we can see that we have all these drives. Now we should have 3 of them eventually. And we can see that, the write-back cache and the write-back cache and the parity drive also has a write-back cache, and if we open that with properties and do a show all, we can see that it's using all these, but as you can see, it's actually using the SSD drives as well, because they're in the pool. So it's using the entire pool, which is correct, but it's not two-tiered, meaning it's going to write to all the physical drives directly, but it's going to use a write-back cache of 1 gig, and that's going to be on the SSD tier.
So the SSDs are for the write-back cache, and that's just done, that's automatically how it's set up.
Yeah.
And for parity.
Yeah, and for parity.
Yep.
So that's cool. So this is the way, and the most important takeaway from this class is going to be very simple. You need to be able to calculate. You need to think, how should I treat a failure? Should I have a dedicated drive or not? Should I have it automatic? Should I have a fast rebuild? Is that my approach? In that case, I need to reserve space for that. I need to be able to calculate on the number of columns, the performance. Should I use SSD? How many SSD drives should I have? It's really easy. It's like learning to ride a bike or something like that. When you got it, it's like, hey, I know how to do calculations of this. And this is what it means to become your own SAN vendor. If you buy something else, it might have a web page and everything is really simple. You can't really do anything wrong.
Someone else have done the thinking for you.
Yeah. In this case, I wouldn't say it's harder. It's just that it's more flexible. But you also need to know exactly how to do this.
And you need to know what you want out of the solution.
Yes.
Yes.
What do you really need to have? So this drive, for instance, it's a really great backup device. You know, it has decent performance. It has a write-back cache. It's using a massive amount of drives, so that's going to be fine. And here we have the three-way mirror. And in this case, maybe that's what you really want to have. You want to have a three-way mirror and enclosure aware, so you can lose more or less half your data center is still going to work. It's like, someone stole one of the enclosures. I didn't notice, which is a very nice thing to say, right? So it's all about knowing how to do the calculations. And as long as you can do that, well, you're good to go.
Yeah, and don't save on the SSD drives. Put your money in the SSDs because that will help you in the long run.
Yeah.
And you can always extend the volumes in size, mm-hmm. but not the number of columns. Correct. So you can't increase the performance after you've created it, but you can increase the size.
Yes, I agree.
So that's actually all for this session.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mike. Thank you, Marcus.
And thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Yeah. In the next session, we will talk about performance.
Yes.
So we will do. We will show how you measure performance,
mm-hmm.
and we will also, show how you can configure for different kind of performance.
Yeah.
And the big thing will probably be, I mean, how do we measure it, and how do we notice when something is wrong?
Yes.
And when can we say we do some performance test, and then we can go like, okay, this is working. This
yeah.
is fine. Let's go. Let's put it in production. So it's a lot about testing.
Testing and performance.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Very
so
important.
Thanks a lot for listening. And I hope you enjoyed it. I did. And thank you, Mike and Marcus, again. And see you soon again. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.